good to have balance. It's good to be good on offense, defense, and special teams.
Absolutely.
We're told that by coaches all the time. And if you, you know, believe like Andy Reid, everybody's well coached on offense,
well coached,
defense,
yeah,
and special teams.
A lot of good players on the team.
All three phases are always something that stands out each and every week. But the Chiefs are proving they do have balance, and there's some statistics to back it up, Fesco.
There are?
Yes.
What are they?
Chiefs have a top five tackler,
yep,
sacker, and interceptor.
Just think about
in
that.
In the NFL.
Think about that.
Anthony Hitchens, top five in tackles.
Right.
D Ford, top five in sacks.
Correct.
Steven Nelson, top five in interceptions.
Yeah, how about that? On a defense that everybody said was no good. You know, that's been, I'm going to continue to push this fake news narrative that we have here in Kansas City that the defense is bad. It's not. It's 16th in the NFL in scoring. That's average, okay? We are not bad. We are freaking average, baby.
That's right. I'll take it.
We are 16.
I'll take it. You can limit points. I'll take it. That's the most important thing to me. Yards, yes. Yards are a concern if teams are moving up and down the field and scoring points. I get it.
Right.
They have improved in the yardage category, and they've gotten a lot better in the scoring category.
The scoring category has been really unbelievable for this football team. I mean, it was at a point where the Chiefs were giving up, 28.7 points per game in the first six games of the season. Think about that. That's a lot of points. That's 30 points per game, okay? They were giving up a lot of points in those first six games. Over the last month of the season, the Chiefs' defense is now giving up, Josh, just 17 points per game. That's almost a two-touchdown improvement per game.
10, 23, 21, 14, the last four games. I look at those, and with this offense, you're like, yeah, you're winning those.
You're going to win those every single day of the week. Say those again.
10,
yeah.
23, mm-hmm. 21, 14.
Yeah. You'll win those games with just about any offense in the NFL. Those are really good point numbers. And I don't know why we're in a mindset as a football fan to rank defenses by yards. I don't know why the NFL got into that business in the first place, where when you're looking at defense, we're ranking them by total yards that are given up. Because at the end of the day, yards don't equal wins. Points equal wins. And that's what this Chiefs defense has been basically since the day Bob Sutton walked in. You're going to give up your yards. You're going to give up chunks of yards. But when push comes to shove and you get inside that red zone, you're going to hold teams to field goals, and you're not going to give up touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's been working to a T over the last month.
Giving up 43, too much.
Yes.
Lost that game.
Correct.
Give up 37, a lot of times you might lose that game. That's Steelers and Patriots.
Right.
Steelers and Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the teams you're expecting to battle at the end.
Right.
Okay. Chargers, prime playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Niners are not.
Right.
They have 27. That was early.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten better, we think.
Right.
Yeah, you can't give up 43 and expect to win. And you probably can't give up 37 and expect to win.
Right.
Those are the two best teams you face, Pittsburgh and New England, right?
And if you base it solely off of scoring defense, points allowed, Chiefs are, 24?
16.
So, yeah, 16. They're, right in the middle of the
16th,
pack.
Yes. They're giving up 24 games.
24
games,
yes. But they're 16th in the NFL.
Right, yes.
In the middle of the pack.
That's
and,
good.
I mean, when you have an offense who is scoring the second most points in the NFL – I don't think it's really that much of something to overcome.
And that's, again, another layer to this whole thing is that while the Chiefs are slinging the ball around and they're jumping out to an early lead and they're building themselves a two-score lead in the first 10 minutes of the game, well, yeah, your defense isn't going to be as aggressive. You're going to play back. You're going to sag a little bit because you're not going to want to give up the big play to allow the other team right back into the game. So you make them dink and dunk it down the field and move the ball down the field at a slow pace.
Matriculate.
You don't give up the big play and you get beat up, you know, moving down the field. And then you get inside the 20 and you tighten up. I mean, that's the style of defense that, for all intents and purposes, is complementary to what this offense is trying to do.
Let me ask you this, Bob, and just – be honest with yourself. If the Patriots have the ball,
mm-hmm,
and the Chiefs have a 3-point lead,
right,
and the Pats have 3 minutes on the clock.
Oh, I'm going with the Pats every day of the week. Sure.
Do you feel confident your defense is going to make a stop?
No.
Don't even make it the Patriots. The Steelers have the ball.
No.
I don't feel confident the defense will make the stops.
But flip it around. Do you have confidence with your offense in the ball?
Oh, absolutely.
Any defense in the NFL?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Any defense in the NFL?
Absolutely.
So I don't think your thought's uncommon.
Right.
Right. But the thing is, like, I don't want to admonish anyone for wanting to bag on the defense, because I can admit I don't think they're that good either. But they're middle of the road, and you have a historically great offense.
Right.
And so, like, that can overcome
any defense against Tom Brady.
But I'm not taking
any defense against Ben Roethlisberger. With a needing to score situation, what defense are you taking? I'm taking none.
The 85 Bears.
I'm taking
maybe
those quarterbacks every single time.
Right.
So I don't think it's completely uncommon.
Then that's fair. I just think that it's not something that I would bash somebody for saying I don't have any faith in this defense, because I don't necessarily have a lot of faith in this defense either. But I do have enough faith that they're good enough to keep you into the game to where your offense can just go out there and blow somebody out of the water. And you're right, Bob. Some of those yardage stats, the passing yards, those get a little inflated because of the fact that teams are playing a lot of catch-up late in the fourth quarter and they're jacking up those yards.
Sure.
But let's face it, they haven't been great at stopping the run either, and that's not coming late in the game.
The run concerns are definitely for me.
The run is an absolute concern, no question about it. But to not acknowledge that this defense has gotten better over the last month is a fallacy on everybody's part, because they have gotten better over the last month or so.
I think they've gotten healthier,
which makes you equal better.
Yeah,
yeah, which makes you get better. I think Dee Ford is playing better today than he was at the beginning of the year. I think Chris Jones is starting to play really good football. I think Alan Bailey's doing a nice job in the middle there. I think
secondary looks confident.
I mean, I think Steven Nelson's playing some great football right now. And I think Ron Parker is playing some good football. So I think these guys are getting better. I think this defense is getting better. And I still don't have a whole lot of confidence in any defense stopping an offense in the NFL, because it just doesn't work that way in this league. But I've got more confidence in these guys today than I did, say, you know, a month and a half or so ago. A month or so ago, I would look at this team and I would go, boy, we're in a bad way right now with this defense. We can't stop anybody. Defense wins championships. And then the defense started to play better. Now, granted, over the last month, they've played Cleveland. They played a bad Cincinnati team. They played Arizona last week. And who's the fourth team that they beat in that stretch that we're looking at right now?
Cincy, Denver, Cleveland,
and
Arizona.
And Denver, right. And so they haven't exactly played murderer's row when it comes to quarterbacks. Now, this week you get Goff, and then you get Rivers. And obviously the good quarterbacks start to cycle back in to the equation for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see how it is. But all I know is that we're finally at the middle of the pack in scoring defense, and they're playing much better defense today than they were a month ago. And that's all you can ask for over the course of a season, is to get better.
But if you give me those scenarios for any of the teams I feel are going to be left standing at the end of a season, okay? So give me Chiefs, give me Patriots, give me Steelers, give me Rams, give me Saints, whatever. Whoever you're facing lately.
Yeah.
If that offense has the ball, do I have faith? Not really.
No.
But do I have faith against any of those teams that any of those defenses could stop any of those offenses?
Yeah.
No.
785 says you've not played any good teams with good offenses.
Because the offenses are going to win. So to me, that'd be an unfair thing. Like, would I expect them to get a stop? No. Would I bet on the offenses scoring? Yeah, because they're all really good offenses. And I don't have any of those teams that I say I fear that defense making a stop.
Do you know who the number one scoring?
Because I'm faithful in all of the offenses can put up points.
Yeah.
All those teams I mentioned, I would believe their quarterback could lead them down the field to a score.
And if not, you definitely lead them down the field with penalties and pass interferences and defensive holdings late in the game, because you see it. We saw it last night in Monday Night Football. Who is the number one scoring defense in the NFL? Do you know?
Ravens or something.
I believe it is the Baltimore Ravens. Let me double check. Actually, it's the Tennessee Titans.
Right, exactly. Would you have expected that the Tennessee Titans were the number one scoring defense in the NFL? Does that defense fear you? What are they giving up, 14, 15 points per game or something like that?
16.8.
16.8 per game. They're holding their opponents.
Yeah, 14 to New England this past weekend with no Gronk and no...
No, they didn't give up 14. They gave up 10.
10, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 10. Okay,
yeah.
Worse. 34 to 10, right?
Would you expect that team is the number one scoring defense in the NFL right now? No.
Would I have faith that the Chiefs offense would score on them? Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Would I fear that they would stop? I would just not bank on any defense. So
right. That's my point.
I feel like that anybody you put up there, I go, well, they're in the same boat you are
right
with your quarterback. They think your quarterback's going to go score.
Even the Tennessee Titans, who aren't giving up three touchdowns per ball game, I have no confidence that they're going to get a stop late in the game, unless it's against Tom Brady. They own him. But late in the game, I have no confidence in any defense making a play. That's not the way that this league is set up. So to sit there and say, do you have confidence with this defense with Tom Brady in the ball with 3 minutes to go? The answer is no. I don't have confidence in any defense in the NFL because the NFL doesn't allow defenses to go out there and make plays. They just don't. They put so much emphasis on the offense and making this a scoring offensive league that they've basically just taken the defense, crumbled it up like a piece of paper, thrown it off into a corner, and they don't allow them to do anything. They just basically allow them to be window dressing out there. And if you do anything trying to hinder the progress of the offense that you're facing, they're whipping that flag out and you're getting 15 yards or you're getting a spot penalty or you're getting a holding penalty. They've geared this so much to an offense that you can't sit there and say, I have faith in any defense in the NFL right now.
I don't. So I don't think the Chiefs are, one, as bad as the bad that some people think, and two, that I would have faith in any defense, really, against any offense. I think Pat Mahomes is going to go score on people. New England thinks they're going to go score?
Yeah. Pat Mahomes scored on New England in 12 seconds.
New England's worried about their defense stopping a last drive by somebody? Yeah.
I think
it's not uncommon. Everybody's
sure
in that same boat.
If you were to have this conversation in New England or Pittsburgh today, do you have confidence that your defense is going to stop Patrick Mahomes with 3 minutes to go? The answer is no.
No, I'm thinking they're going, glad we had the ball last.
I'm thinking we let him score.
New England's like, glad we,
yeah,
had the comeback. I don't want them to get the ball again.
3 minutes to go in a game. Kansas City has the ball. If you're the opposition, you're probably thinking, quick strike, let them score. Let's get the ball back and go down on their defense and score and win the game that way. That's what you're thinking. That's the way you have to think now in the NFL because you can't play defense, especially late in the game.
Everybody's a turf expert today. We've been talking about Azteca Stadium, but if your name is Lawn Coach on Twitter, I mean, you got to know what you're talking about, right? Is that what we're going with? I'd like to think that's your moniker. We'll talk grass next.
Fesco in the morning.
You can always text in to the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306. Here's just one I want to read for you, Fesco. These are the ones that just kind of drive me crazy. If they give up more than 30 to the Rams, this is not a championship D. Giving up 30-plus points consistently to top-caliber teams isn't a recipe for winning at all.
Okay.
And on the surface, I'd say yeah.
Sure.
I would counter by saying the teams we think are contenders. The Steelers gave up 42 to the Chiefs.
Yes.
The Patriots, albeit a win, gave up 40 to the Chiefs. Do you remember the Rams and Saints game?
Yeah.
The two best teams in the NFC.
45-35.
Shootout.
Yeah.
Every one of those other teams is doing the same thing.
The Rams were supposed to have a championship defense this year. They gave up, 35 on Sunday to Seattle or
the
high-caliber
teams going toe-to-toe, what are they doing? They're playing shootout games.
Right, they're all shootout games in the NFL right now. They are. So that's where the league is. We've got to stop living in the 80s.
Name me like a team. I guarantee you they're going to get a stop in that game.
So you're telling me that the best way to guarantee victory is just to figure out how to have the ball last?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, I think it's absolutely a better strategy than trying to go out there and play defense.
Do you think that if the Chiefs had the ball last in New England, they win?
Possibly.
Do you think they do?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They
New do. England had the ball last.
Sure.
They won. They gave up 40.
I hate to say that, but that's where the league is right now.
These so-called other best teams aren't immune to giving up points, too.
Like everything,
you're just fine.
Everything we've ever learned about football growing up, throw it out the window. It doesn't matter anymore. It's gone,
You're going to give up points.
It's
gone.
You're
going to give up points.
Teams are scoring at an alarming rate right now in the NFL. Defenses aren't. It's not that they're not able to stop them. It's the league doesn't allow you to play defense anymore. So have the ball last and win. That's simple.
Somebody else in the text line asked best strategies to score more points. Yeah. Score more points.
Outscore your opponent.
Score more points. And is Pittsburgh better today than they were before? Yeah, they are. So that's why I want them to sort it out with New England before we ever get there.
Right.
Have them on the other side of the bracket. Yes.
Right. 2-3 doing battle in Heinz Field, yes. And then 1-4 doing battle here in Kansas City, and then we'll take the winner of that game.
Yes. I'll take my chances on getting a stop.
And right now, I'd rather play New England than Pittsburgh.
Yes, I think everybody would. Everybody watching Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is freaking good.
Everybody
right
watching
now.
Pittsburgh going, ugh.
Right.
Yes, I understand. Get them on the other side of the bracket. See what Tom Brady does against Pittsburgh. He beats them.
Yeah.
let's let them take care of that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Whatever. Whichever team you want. You're going to have to face somebody.
Right.
You're not going to be immune to that. And yeah, you might lose that. Oh my gosh, you might lose that game. I can't give you guarantees. I'm just saying every other of these contenders have given up points as well.
Right.
And they've given up points in these head-to-head games with those other so-called good teams.
Exactly.
It's been a season of shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
You expect to beat New England? Well, maybe you should after last week. 34-10 or whatever that was.
Right.
It doesn't happen every day.
No.
It doesn't happen every day.
Especially once they lose 34-10, odds of them having another game like that, pretty slim to none.
Jason Clarkson joins us on the phone. He is a longtime listener of the show. I believe he is. But he's a very, very frequent interactor with us on social media because he goes by @LawnCoach, which is exactly the guy we need today. Works at Heritage Lawn. And can you go grow grass in Mexico City in like less than a week?
Absolutely not. I mean, unfortunately, they should have been prepared for this. And what happens is they actually need time for their roots to actually get down. And if they bring anything in, it's going to have a thick root structure for them to have any footing.
So what's best case scenario for this field over the next 6 days or 5 days to get it ready for an NFL game?
The best case scenario is for them to actually bring in sod that is actually thick and actually have a root structure and a sand base so they can bring in something that is thick and they'll have to roll everything down and probably even staple everything down for them to even have any footing and for them to be able to play. I mean, the problem that they're going to have is they only have 6 days to do all this.
Yeah, and so what are we looking at, though, Jason, from a field condition standpoint in Mexico City on Monday night? First, let's talk about the safety aspect of things. Whatever they do leading up into this game, will that field be safe enough for these two teams?
My personal opinion, no. Just because they're not going to have any footing, and they're going to have to be changing cleats out, different lengths of cleats. They may have to go with longer lengths of cleats, and the equipment manager is going to have a lot to do with that as well. So the most important thing is a safety, for the players. And number one is safety. They actually need to move the game to L.A., and they can play on good field conditions because the problem is they're taking a risk of getting somebody hurt.
This hybrid mixture that they use there too, can you replicate that in a short period of time?
Yes. So the hybrid mixture is going to be very tough because there's artificial fibers that are actually blended in with real grass. Lambeau Field, if anybody wants to Google Lambeau Field, you can actually see the artificial fibers that are actually in place with the real grass that is blended together. And for those to be blended together, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have everything blended together, mixed in with the sod for them to replicate the actual surface. And that's going to be very challenging in 6 days. I don't know how it's going to be possible, but we'll see what happens.
Jason, thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate your insight.
Thank you guys so much. I greatly appreciate everything. And if you guys ever need anything anymore, give me a call.
All right.
Will do.
@LawnCoach on Twitter. There you go. Ask him your lawn questions as well.
He's got the answers for you. He flat out said this is a grass expert who said this will not be safe to play.
The hybrid thing's like a good concept. It takes longer, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're basically weaving in real grass and fake grass together, creating some sort of weave
or something
like that.
Like a artificial turf and rolling it over the top.
I'm going to be real interested on how the NFL pushes the narrative that this is going to be a good environment for these teams to participate in on Monday.
It's really good because they got a lot of tickets sold.
Well, yeah.
That's the good.
That's what it is. It's clearly a moneymaker. And if we just get past the fact of that's all this is about making money, then okay, then I can understand. Your concern is to not give back any of the money that you've already made off of this Mexico City game, and that's why you want to play it down there, regardless of the playing conditions. But he brought up the equipment manager, and it reminds me of the 1934 NFL championship game, the Giants and the Bears, and they called that the sneaker game. And they played at Yankee Stadium that year. Josh, I think you were 10 at the time, and the stadium froze over. It turned into a sheet of ice.
Oh, I do remember. No,
and the equipment manager for the Giants. What?
Nothing. Continue.
And the equipment manager for the Giants at halftime of the game, the legend goes, went up to Fordham High School and got all the Fordham High School or Fordham College, Fordham University basketball sneakers and brought them back to Yankee Stadium because Fordham was fairly close to Yankee Stadium. So he went in there and he was the equipment guy at Fordham and with the equipment guy with the Giants and raided the Fordham locker room, took all the sneakers from the basketball team, brought them back to the game. The Giants switched shoes at halftime, ended up having traction because they were sneakers on ice. The Bears had spikes. They couldn't grip the ice, and the Giants went on and won the championship in 1934. So when he brings up the equipment guy, he's right. Whoever the equipment guy is for the Chiefs right now, that guy's going to have to really, really, really be on it if they play down in Mexico City with the spikes. We saw Saquon Barkley last night in the game in San Francisco changing his spikes during the game. And that was a good field condition that they were playing on last night in San Francisco. So they're going to have to stay one step ahead and have many options of shoes and different spikes that these guys are going to be able to use on Monday night because it's going to be such an extreme condition down there. The equipment guy is the guy who I think at the end of the day could be the MVP for either team.
Chiefs website equipment director Alan Wright, the assistant equipment manager is Chris Shropshire.
Chris Shropshire, yeah, those guys have been there forever.
And Kyle Crumbaugh.
Good news is, yeah, those are some experienced dudes.
Get on it, Crumbaugh.
We're gonna head down to the sidelines. Lisa Salters has got more on tonight's shoes.
Right, Lisa.
Yeah, there's gonna be. She's gonna have a shot with each set of shoes, and they're looking. They're gonna start out with these cleats and see
right.
The whole thing. It's a mess.
Really big shoe.
Mm-hmm. Just move this to LA and be done with it. It's their game anyway.
It is.
Go ahead and move it back to Los Angeles and stop messing around with this thing. Chiefs and Rams coming up as of now in Mexico City. We check
sure
in.
Join us at Winning Streaks.
There you go. We'll be at Winning Streaks regardless.
Regardless of where the game is, we're at Winning Streaks.
I'll be wearing sneakers.
I'll be wearing flat sneakers as well. There will be no cleats on the bottom of our shoes. You can join us at Winning Streaks, Harris North, Kansas City on Monday night. Watch party for the game. Regardless of where it's played, we will be at Winning Streak. So join us on Monday night. We check in with former Chief Danan Hughes in our weekly visit. Looking forward to next week's matchup. Bitterman strikes again. Today in history and the big story all straight ahead next.
Fesco in the morning.
Plenty to get to in the next 30 minutes. Mike Gundy is really funny once again. We'll hear from him. Former NFL coach is just all Bitterman. We'll get to that today in history. And the big story all coming up. It is time for our weekly chat, though, with former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes. Danan, why don't you weigh in on grass conditions? Do players worry themselves about the condition of a field?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd say from a wide receiver's perspective, the cornerbacks, especially nowadays when you're seeing a lot of players go down, non-contact injuries. You saw Cooper Kupp go down last week just cutting on an out route. So it gets into the head of a player. When it's all said and done, it's still football, and there's times where you're playing in the rain and snow, and the turf can be a little shaky. But if you know it ahead of time, I think it plays a factor in a lot of guys' minds.
Well, and I think if it rains or snows, hey, that's weather. You got to deal with that. That's not that big a deal to me. But when we know a week going in that they've had a month to fix this field that Shakira tore up and they're not doing anything about it until, call me the day of, that's very concerning to me.
Blame this on Shakira.
Hey, it's all Shakira's fault, man. So I'm looking at this situation right now, and I'm thinking to myself, the NFL really doesn't care about player safety. We know that. That's all just a front and a fraud that they perpetrate out there. But for me, if I'm a player right now, I'm thinking to myself, boy, we are really putting two of the best teams in the league add injury risk by sending him down there. What do you think the NFL is ultimately going to do with this?
Well, I think they're going to try to cover their butts. They always do. They're going to make some public statements that they've secured the field. They've had their experts go down and make sure everything is in line. And if the players are on the field, they're going to be at the utmost protected on the field, and that everything was that has been done with that, mindset. But like you said, I mean, the whole protecting the player's safety is a farce for a lot of reasons. And just the fact that they fine guys, I mean, we can have this conversation on and on about the money that is generated from guys for fines, for hits, and, the rules that have supposedly changed for the benefit of players. But when it's all said and done, they want the football on the field. They want the viewership. They want the money. And the players have to play in the circumstances that they're given. And if both teams get on a flight to go down there, they're not coming back without playing a football game. So we can rest assured that there could be a game that's going to be played Monday night. It's supposed to be the best game of the season, the two best teams that may meet in February. It's going to be fun to watch, but hopefully it'll be safe.
Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joining us. The defense of this past week, does that give you some more bump that this defense can be one that continues to show improvement the rest of the year?
Absolutely. I mean, with Justin Houston back, as long as he stays healthy, and that's been the key for this entire season, is guys being healthy. I don't think Justin was really healthy weeks before he went down. And the fact that they've gotten better, and I've been encouraged about that. I mean, who would have thought that week one, week three, week four, that we would have seen the best of this offense, especially with the young quarterback? But let's face it, you can't have the best offense, your best defense, and your best special teams in the first quarter of the season. You got to have some room for improvement. And the defense, to give them credit, Bob Sutton, getting more creative with the blitzes, with the pressures in the quarterback spaces, Chris Jones finally showing up on a consistent basis, and a healthy Justin Houston with a guy on the other side in D4 that has lit a fire on his butt, and he's getting the job done as well. I saw some pass rushing by D4 last week that reminded me of Derek Thomas, the speed that he showed off the corner. So I'm encouraged by the defense that they're growing and they're getting better. It all starts up front. That's what's going to help those defensive backs.
You know, I maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm just a child at heart. I think I am a little bit, obviously, as that caller called me yesterday. But I think when I look at this team on defense right now, the confidence that they're gaining, I think, to me, is real. Speak from a player's perspective. Is confidence a real thing, or is that just something we fantasize about?
Oh, it's real. I mean, you have to be confident. You know, there are times, and you guys have heard me reference where, you know, back in the day when we played the Dallas Cowboys when they're in their heyday, when you play the Steelers, there's a little bit of awe that goes on the field. You believe that you belong on the field, but you're just not 100% sure that all the pieces will come together, that you can compete against those big powerhouses. Well, the confidence that's displayed by this Chiefs team continues to grow. I mean, I think the turning point was that Patriots game that, hey, we can play not as good on offense, really not very good on defense, and still compete with the best in the game. And that seemed to kind of be the motivating factor to what we've seen them display during this, you know, second half of the first half of the season. So I think confidence is huge. Players have to recognize that they have confidence in their coach, confidence in the game plan that they're employing, and confidence in the guy next to him. The big plays happen. If Chris Jones is trying to do something that Anthony Hitchens is supposed to do, if D Ford is trying to make a play and not utilizing Alan Bailey for what he's supposed to do, that's where you get gashed in big plays. Mm-hmm. So guys have to trust each other, and confidence, you know, is coupled with that.
Yeah, the trust is so big. I remember DJ talking about that years ago, and you know, the Patriots motto is do your job, and that, yep, means everybody does their own job. You don't have to worry about, you know, whether or not the guy next to you is going to do his job. You have the belief and confidence in that. And I think that's starting to form right now. And it's not just D Ford, or it's not just Alan Bailey or Chris Jones. Steven Nelson is balling right, yep, now, Danan.
Yeah, the defensive backs, I'll tell you what, those guys are stepping up. I'd like to see them be a little bit better at playing the ball. I look back at that Arizona Cardinals game, and there was a couple of balls thrown in the end zone. One, Larry Fitzgerald, that the defensive back never made a play on the ball, never got his head around to the ball. You know, there are times where there's questionable calls that they allow to go. I think last week against the Browns, there was a play in the end zone where Eric Murray could have gotten called for a penalty. I'd like to see them play a little bit better when the ball's in the air to deflect the ball or maybe even pick it off on deep routes. But that, to me, if that's the only thing I'm complaining about right now and we're playing better defense than we were in the beginning of the season, I'll take it.
You said this could be the game of the year, and it absolutely could be. Could be a preview something later on down the road. Hopefully it is for at least our side of things. But what are you anticipating head-to-head versus the Rams?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Even though we had our woes this past weekend with the interior line offensively, I think they'll do a good job. You know, Andy Reid is one of the best offensive minds to ever be a part of the NFL. He'll create some sort of package to nullify some of the power up front by Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. So I think, you know, this is going to be a fun game to watch. The fact that it's on primetime, it'll be the only game on Monday night. It's going to be something special. And I think, like you said, if you want to see this team, if we want to see this team give us a glimpse of what could be in January, this is basically their second opportunity to do so. So I'm encouraged by it. I think the guys are ready for it. The fact that they played a bad Arizona Cardinals team kind of allowed them to, you know, get a little bit more confidence going into this game. And it's always helpful to go against one of your former teammates who talks a lot of trash. And I'm sure he'll be a target of Patrick Mahomes multiple times on Monday night. So that's going to be fun to watch, too.
Who are you talking about? The guy who's ranked 104th out of 107th in the NFL? Is that the guy?
Hey, he opened his mouth. Now he's going to have to show up. Yeah. And I can guarantee you that they're not going to shy away from him. Contrary to what he may have thought earlier this season, he's now become the target of a lot of quarterbacks, and Patrick Mahomes doesn't seem like the guy that's going to allow somebody to shut off half the field.
Tyreek's going to be flashing deuces as he runs right by Marcus Peters all day long on Monday night. Danon, we appreciate the time, my man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Danon Hughes joins us every single Tuesday at 8:30. We'll talk to him, obviously, next Tuesday after a big Chiefs win over the Rams.
Yeah, it wasn't as imposing. On paper, before the season, hey, you know my feelings about letting Marcus Peters go, but he hasn't backed it up, man. No. He has not played well. He has been targeted, and I hope he talks this week because I want a little juice for this one coming up.
He is flat stunk.
Not as imposing as this looked like it was going to be on paper as the season started with Tlaib and Peters.
Right.
One of which is not there, and one's not playing well.
Right.
So some opportunities against that. That secondary for sure.
If you can solidify your offensive line and not let the pass rush get to you, then you can take advantage of Marcus Peters.
And then on the flip side, stopping the run concerns me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stopping Gurley could have a day.
Stopping Gurley really, really concerns me. All right, you have a grass update?
I do. I talked to a source
world.
In the grass world, whatever world you want to call it. And they told me, as we've talked about, the NFL is sending down their guys. But what I found to be interesting about it, the guy that they're sending down is the former Rams groundskeeper guy who was their groundskeeper guy in St. Louis.
Okay.
Played on a fake turf in a dome. And they're sending him. Going oh, sure look at the grass,
practice fields and stuff.
Does anybody else just kind of find that?
Is that what it is? We're going with practice fields.
I mean, does anybody else just find that a little like of all the people
know.
You could send?
Don't worry, we'll get this taken care of. We're going to send the guy who dealt with artificial turf.
Wait. George Toma dealt with turf for a long time too. It was cleaning the chew spit out from behind third base.
Correct.
So I'm not, you know, I'm
but
not
he
saying,
had those dirt patches. He needed.
I'm saying he wasn't an expert too, just because he had some turf on his field.
Right. But
he's
I just find that to be very odd. Like that the NFL is sending a guy who cared for a turf field down to figure out what we're going to do with real grass.
Well, maybe he had a lot of time because he didn't have a lot of time working on his field to research it. Now he's an expert, or he's brilliantly. A retired guy who's not a consultant.
Right. Sure. That's probably what it is.
which is the best
move
of all.
But don't you just find it like a little bizarre? I just believe it's all window dressing by the NFL to kind of just appease the general public right now. Like they're really not concerned about a field that is clearly not playable for NFL standards. I mean, if this is a high school field, fine. We're all going down there and we're playing on it. We don't care. But we're talking about NFL
There's
standards.
Certainly not a field that the NFL gives one iota about what the NFLPA thinks.
Right. Or player safety or anything like this.
And, I would think they're going to, what can we do to get this ready? Because we're playing Monday night here.
Right.
What are you going to do to get it ready?
So That's let's it. Send the AstroTurf guy down there who has experience
well,
with.
Well, it's probably the best call. Put AstroTurf down.
Not even natural light because the dome had no natural light inside of that thing. So that is not a bad call. Get some field turf and roll it out.
Let's just roll a carpet out there roll and be done with this stupid thing.
Crazy, man.
Get it, take all of it off.
Mm-hmm.
Get it down to dirt. Just roll something
out.
I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it out the soccer fields out on 135th.
Right.
Takes them like a little bit. Just roll it out. Throw some recycled tires down and let's play some ball.
Right.
Mike Gundy's back. Gundy, he's a man. He's a little bit older than 40 now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's got
actually
some
50 now.
He is. It's true.
I just heard from somebody in the Rams organization just sent me a text. They go, we're still trying to figure out where this game is being played. We don't have time for much this week.
St. Louis, that's where we're going to play it.
Not quite. Gundy, I love Mike Gundy. I think he's hilarious. Like he's funny. Love the fact that he's trolling his kids with the mullet,
yeah.
the whole nine. And, you know, he does sound a little old man at times, which is fine. Everybody has those moments, but he's not a big fan of whatever Generation Z or whatever we're calling them, millennials,
right?
What have you.
He's not a fan of the youth.
That's those young people that transfer and stuff don't like him.
Well, I think we live in a world where people are noncommittal. We allow liberalism to say, hey, I could just do what I want and I don't have to really be tough and fight through it. And you see that with young people.
And coaches.
Because it's an option they're given. We weren't given that option when we were growing up. We were told what to do. We did it the right way, or you go figure it out on your own. In the world today, there's a lot of entitlement. I'm a firm believer in the snowflake. I'm talking about every millennial young person, Generation Z, I think is what they call them. That's the world we live in, because if they say, well, it's a little bit hard, then we say, okay, well, let's go try something else versus, hey, let's bear down and let's fight through this.
I love it. I'm a firm believer in the snowflake.
Well, liberalism there. He's kind of using in a wrong term. Yeah. I mean, if he's running for political office, I guess that hits all the buzzwords that you're looking for. But that's a football coach talking about that kind of stuff. I resent college coaches when they give speeches like that back in my day, you made a commitment. You mean like you did to Toledo and then jumped to the next big job?
You can leave whenever you want.
You can leave whenever you want.
Whenever you want.
Whenever you want to go, coach. Whenever you want to leave, you can leave.
Every liberal in government.
Every single coach in the United States of America at a collegiate level is entitled to leave on a Tuesday and start their job on a Wednesday. No sitting out a year. No taking time off. No fulfilling contracts, nothing like that. So when a collegiate coach gets out there and starts talking about that there's no commitment from players anymore, I tell him to stick it right up his ass because he's a lying fool and a fraud. And that's where these college coaches are right now, especially Mike Gundy, who in a minute would probably switch jobs if he got the opportunity to do so, like most coaches.
Now he probably has. He's been in man rumored. He probably could lead him with time. The part is where
that mullet goes over well in Oklahoma.
Where it's coming from, which you mentioned the coaches, because I don't disagree with some of the things he says. Like there's not enough of like bear down and fight through stuff.
No, that doesn't
because there's sure. there's a and we see it all the time. It's like, well, I didn't win the job. I'm out.
Yeah,
you know, or boy, this didn't go my way. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Your first reaction is to hit eject.
Sure,
I feel like it is.
Yeah, sure.
But that is definitely the thing. But it can't come from a coach because you can't eject.
Right. You can leave at any time
any
you
point
want.
In time with no ramifications other than maybe your current employer has to pay your former employer.
Right.
That doesn't seem to be much of an issue.
Nobody
anyway.
Cares about that.
You're not paying that back. You're not forced to, like, I have to pay the buyout myself.
Right.
To do those things. I think there was maybe one instance of that.
I feel like
that
there
Jim
was.
Jim McElwain, I want to say, at Florida, when he went from Colorado State, didn't he pay part of his buyout
there
or something?
Was something like that?
But
yeah.
For the most part, it's your like next. You can hit eject at any point in
right,
time.
And leave.
I don't disagree with some of the like. You have to have some fight. And you have to go through some things, and sometimes it's not easy.
Right.
And
but I don't like
probably,
when they start saying kids aren't committed anymore and all this kind
That's
of stuff.
That's a broad general. You think he's got 80 kids on his thing? You think there's not a bunch of them that are committed?
Right.
that went through some crap and have stuck through it? There are. There's a whole bunch of them.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of them that have. I know a bunch of them at Kansas. Okay?
Right. Sure.
They've weathered some crap, right? Some guys could have bolted.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. There's plenty of them that have been through that. You can't say, well, that kid's soft. He turned tail and ran when it going got to, nah, he stuck through it.
Right.
There's plenty of them that do. He's speaking in too general a terms for my liking.
Well,
but some of the things he says are on point. Some of them are just way too broad. And I do like the fact that he's a big believer in snowflakes.
I always love whenever the generation that raised the generation they're complaining about is talking about it too.
Yeah,
well, I don't know who the hell raised all these kids nowadays, but they're terrible.
Yeah, you did, sir. You are a big part of what's going on in society because of how you raised your kids. And here's the other thing. This whole loyalty
kids
thing
these days
that people want to preach all the time. Oh, you got to be loyal. You got to be loyal. Why? You got to be loyal to yourself. And you got to be loyal to your family. And that is it. Because nobody, hell, I know some people whose families aren't even loyal to them. Most of the time, people aren't even loyal to you. So why should you turn around and be loyal to anybody else? Are you telling me that university is 100% committed to Mike Gundy right now?
Or any of his players?
No. The minute that they think that they can do better, they're going to jettison you and do better. So loyalty, when people use the term loyalty, I just laugh. That is so misused and overused because there is no loyalty in this world anymore. It's not like when you went to work for a company like my dad did the day he walked out of college and retired with that same company. That's loyalty. That doesn't exist in the world anymore. Nobody has that kind
of
loyalty.
That was back when they were being true to your school.
That's exactly
like
right.
Like you're true to your girl.
Like you're true to your girl. But like I said, I mean, people's families aren't even loyal to them anymore.
The Beach Boys?
Dealing with illness.
All right, let's hear from another coach and another cranky variety, Rex Ryan.
Boy, this guy's turned into,
as you've called him, Bitterman Party of One.
Bitterman Party of One, and Ryan sits down and eats some steak. Good
Rex
Lord.
Ryan now with ESPN on the state of the Jets.
As a leader of an organization, you represent your fan base and everybody in the working, you know, that works and all that. And that's passion. That is toughness. That's work ethic. That's all these type of things. And you don't just go out there and lay your jock on the field like they did here. Mm-hmm. There was one or two guys playing with any kind of freaking fire and all that. This was awful. And to me, here's what I love, Grinny. They always talk, well, Todd Bowles going to get fired. You're damn right he's going to get fired. So is everybody else. I love the fact you got the GM sitting back saying, you know, talking about the future. That's all he talks about, the future. What future do you have? Do you honestly think you have?
You're ignorant.
No, I don't want him to fire Cleveland Bowles.
Go get yourself a lollipop or a cupcake or something.
I want him to stay around.
It's the only thing good about the Jets
only for
right
the
now.
Sound bites.
How about Rex Ryan just absolutely losing his mind on the Jets, right?
It's a little personal to him, I get it, but
Rex Ryan won 5 games in his final year with the Jets.
Yeah.
When Todd Bowles took over the next year, he won 10.
Yeah. Right. With Rex Ryan's players.
Just sit down, yes. Rex.
Yeah, exactly. He's freaking out over a team that he got fired from.
He didn't
right.
have that sweet Bills truck, though. That was,
yeah,
that was
he did.
Pretty nice.
Did he make it through a full season with the Bills?
He was 2 years with the Bills, I believe.
No. Yeah. Was he really?
I believe so.
I didn't realize that. I didn't think he – I thought he was a mid-season, like, they got rid of him fast.
Today in history.
See, now I'm looking up Rex Ryan.
Sorry.
Throw that
gentlemen.
In. Thanks.
I'm here to help you with your history report.
Sure. Sounds important.
You know what today is?
History! What's today? October?
Tears in Buffalo.
16 games in 2015, 15.
Fired after week 16, that's second season in Buffalo.
Probably a good time to get rid of somebody.
I'd like to see Van Gundy or whatever his name is. Van Gundy, is it?
Van Gundy?
Gundy down in Oklahoma.
Mike Gundy?
Talk about loyalty to the Buffalo Bills. They didn't even give the guy 2 years. You want to talk loyalty, Gundy? Come on now.
I like Mike Gundy better than Stan Van Gundy if we're power ranking Gundys.
Yeah, I think Mike Gundy's up there, but, I mean, don't speak nonsense.
Would he be in your top 5 undies, though?
No.
Because Crocodile Dundee would be up there. And the Underoo would be up there.
Well, yeah, my He-Man undies.
You're
in
just undies in general.
Yeah.
All right, we're being little kids. What is today? The 13th?
Yes, 13th right. of November.
The 13th of November. A lot of important things happening on the 13th of November. On
68
this day.
Years ago today, my mother still had not been born yet.
On this day in 1789, Ben Franklin wrote, "Nothing is certain but death and taxes."
That is correct.
And it's still accurate to this day.
It is still the motto of every American to this day.
I thought John Rothstein wrote that.
No.
Never better.
He added Kansas basketball and Bill Self to that one.
Oh.
True story.
Oh, I thought that was a him. My bad.
Still very bitter about Rothstein.
Franklin would have had Bill Self and Kansas basketball in there had it been around when Franklin was writing.
I've seen that death taxes Bill Self one a lot.
Right,
I thought that was Franklin.
No.
Or was
that's
it Rothstein? Rothstein?
Kind of a plagiarism.
I mixed up which one was which.
Ben Franklin, a big 76ers fan. I didn't know
he
that.
Was, yes. Yeah. He's in the logo.
Yes. On this day in 1895, the first shipment of canned pineapple arrived from Hawaii.
Ooh.
Big day.
It was.
Finally got it to the mainland.
Yeah.
I recently figured out how to peel a pineapple. My life has never been the same. It's amazing. Lovely. Try some fresh pineapple. I highly recommend it. On this day in 1942, the minimum draft age was lowered.
Peel it or just cut it?
Well, you cut like the outside husk off.
Yeah.
And then you just cut it. You got to cut the core.
And then you got to core it. It's
right?
a pain
I didn't
in the
know.
Ass.
It is kind of a pain in the ass. It I didn't is. Know how you got that
but
skin
But it's much,
off.
Much cheaper.
Much cheaper. Much yeah. cheaper. And I worked in the produce
no,
department,
no
so
hands.
I will
no
not
dirty, no
buy
dirty.
Pre-cut fruit.
I understand. No dirty hands. You're,
slice
you're taking it yourself.
Put a little rum and some brown sugar on there. Throw it on the grill. Oh, forget about it. On this day in 1942, the minimum draft age was lowered from 21 to 18 in the United States. That was a sad day.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have put that one on there. 1952, false fingernails were first sold on this day in 1952.
Lee Press-On Nails.
Was that, yeah.
I don't,
that
it Lee? Wasn't Lee Press-On Nails. It was like the actual go get them done at a salon.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've ever been part of that process.
It actually, the first one was
wild.
The person that Lee ripped it off from.
That's true.
That
yes.
doesn't get any credit for it.
That's right.
Lee ripped off nails.
Right. Like that other, that the one, the guy that invented basketball you were trying to push on us.
That's true. That's a true story.
That guy,
I don't remember his
there's
name,
a, there's a There's a Lee Press-On-Nails right. person that got ripped off by Lee Press-On-Nails.
Well, you know about the bra, right? Ron Brazier takes credit for inventing it when it was actually Otto Titzlinger. He ripped off the bra from Otto Titzlinger.
So you can get away with saying that. I can't.
What do you mean? Go watch the movie Beaches. They sing the song. Do you buy a Titzlinger or do
I
you
don't
buy
think
a
Otto
Brazier?
Titzlinger is the guy's real name.
And I'm not going to watch Beaches.
That's a great movie.
When he patented his over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
That's, you see, you know exactly yes. what I'm talking no, about. Yes.
It's not true. It's not based on a true story. Yeah. Karate Kid is, by the way. It's an interesting story. On this day in 2004, we lost Old Dirty Bastard. He died of a drug overdose, so R.I.P. Russell Tyrone Jones. On this day in 1980, Voyager 1 sent back the first close-up pictures of Saturn.
Or did it.
Or did it.
I got some close-up pictures of Uranus.
I was to say, I would appreciate if Bob would quit sending me close-up pictures of Uranus. On this day in 1979, Ronald Reagan announced his candidacy for the President of the United States.
Do we have audio of that?
Well, I'm running.
There it was. It's amazing.
I'm in.
And on this day in 1875, the National Bowling Association was formed in New York.
The NBA.
That's right. The NBA is...
They got ripped off of the
always
NBA.
Been known. Happy 63rd birthday to Whoopi Goldberg. What's she been doing lately?
Whoopi. Cash and checks.
I recently found out that her and Ted Danson were a real thing.
They were?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. Oh, yeah.
Do you know Sister Act 3 is coming in?
Is Whoopi in Sister Act 3?
I would imagine.
Do people still call the act of intercourse Whoopi?
Or not? She's not still on The View?
Do people still call sex Whoopi?
Only if you're on the game show.
Hollywood Square. Or Hollywood Square.
Family Feud.
Making Whoopi. Joe Mantegna turned 71. Not the quarterback, the actor. World Peace.
Great Saturday Night Live bit about that one time where Joe Montana went on and said, I'm not Joe Montana, and you will stay and watch the show.
It's good. It's good. And Meta World Peace turns 39 today. I still call you Ron Artest.
You're so he's back to that now.
Forever Ron Artest.
He's always stayed at Meta World Peace. He never went back.
Oh.
And by the way, Buck O'Neill would have been 107 today.
Wow. Happy birthday,
Happy
Buck.
Happy birthday, Buck.
Happy birthday, Buck. All of that happening on this day in history.
It's the big story.
Big, big, big.
It's what you're talking about.
If it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big.
Want it? We got it now.
Well, that does sound big.
Big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group. company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. Grass, our big story
it
today.
Is. I mean, yeah.
Strangely enough.
Talking Mexican grass.
Man, Mexican grass we're talking about.
I don't think you can get that anymore.
Man. Ask the president about this today. The NFL has dispatched their people to Mexico City's Azteca Stadium.
Right. The former St. Louis Rams grounds crew guy has been dispatched. I'm not joking. That's who they sent. A guy who's
got that guy down there. It is an artificial and natural blend.
Hybrid, yes.
So maybe he's taking care of half of the issues.
Maybe. The NFL has worries about the playing surface at Azteca Stadium, site of the Monday night game next week between the Chiefs and the Rams. And despite that fact, they're working closely with the stadium and the field manager at Azteca Stadium and others to ensure that we have an NFL-quality surface for our game, and we are looking forward to kicking off in Mexico City on Monday night.
So basically what they're saying is
NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy.
We really don't have a concern. We're going to act like this is a concern to appease everybody out there. This game is being played in Mexico. We don't care what you say.
What you're saying, grasshopper.
There is still an option, according to many reports, at Los Angeles. It has to be made available anyway.
Right.
But there's an option leaving the door open that could move the game to L.A. if absolutely necessary. The league will meet at the stadium today to make a final determination.
I just got a text from somebody in the Rams organization, and they said, we're still in wait-and-see mode. We have no idea what's going on right now or where this game is going to be played. So both teams are kind of up in
sitting
the air.
Sitting and waiting.
But you know what's going to happen.
They're going to play the game there on
of
Monday
night. Of
course
they are. Yeah.
You're still good friends with that parking lot attendant out in L.A.? Is he texting you?
Parking lot attendant
That's
in
right.
L.A.?
You boys like Mexico!
Well, I've ever met a parking lot attendant
I didn't want to out
LA.
Your sourcing with the Rams, yeah. But my bad.
So yeah, they're waiting and seeing. Chiefs are waiting and seeing. The NFL is apparently going to make a decision today.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get new pictures as well.
I'm
via,
telling you what the decision is going to be.
Social media.
They're going to doctor the pictures. You know, they're going to put like a filter over it to make it look like it's okay. It's fine. It grew with overnight.
But you have two options.
With ears and the dog eyes and a tongue.
Yeah.
They're
going to
put that on right in the middle of the field.
Your two options are unsafe field conditions in Mexico City or unsafe air conditions in L.A.
Right.
And we don't really know what the air conditions will be in 6 days from now.
Correct.
But if you were watching last night, like it was creeping up. Like it was already in the...
It was in the 160s, and they said anything like over 120 is
yeah, like you
unsafe.
Saw people wearing those masks and things
right.
last night, which was interesting. I thought the Foot Clan was taking
SoCal,
over out in L.A.
SoCal. It'd be fine.
Well, the fires are in Malibu and in Northern
they
California.
They could move this to Malibu, L.A. if they wanted to.
Has Barbie been evacuated?
Oh,
yes, the Barbie mansion is now
the
evacuated.
Alan Thicke's kid, Randy
Robin.
Thicke.
Robin.
His place is gone.
Call him Randy Thicke?
Totally different person. Little known brother Randy.
We discussed this?
The less talented of the Thicks.
Shouldn't Robin Thicke start putting out Thick Mints? Would you buy Thick Mints?
Supposed to Thin Mints?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Why not? Yeah, like double the size.
Yeah, double the size. Just Thick Mints.
So grass, that's the big story. Brought to you by Spring Venture Group.
They're
we'll continue to
their sponsorship on that one.
Give you the latest.
What's the big story today, guys? What'd you talk about? Grass.
Mexican grass. It is.
Mexican
everybody wants
grass.
To know.
Mexican
are going to play it or not? And the answer probably is yes. We'll play this week's NFL Fact or Fiction coming up next.
You boys like Mexico!
Fesco in the morning.